Hello, Stuart, back again with Jodie and with Casper the dog under the table. We're now into the third Sunday of Easter, and our reading this morning, or whenever you're listening, is from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35.
And it's titled, On the Road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, What are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days? What things? He asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, It's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
Let us pray. Lord, we pray that you would take this familiar story of the road to Emmaus, and that by your Holy Spirit you would breathe through it, and that it would speak into our lives and our situation that we find ourselves in now. We pray that you would open our hearts, open our minds to what you have to say to us. And I pray your blessing upon those who listen to this recording, that you would speak to them through Scripture and through my words, that you would blow through them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're now on the third Sunday of Easter, and this sermon title is Burning Hearts and Open Eyes. In this story, we have two disappointed disciples. We see in verse 18 that one of them was called Cleopas, and perhaps the other was his wife, Mary. That's an assumption or a guesstimate, but that's quite possible. And they're returning home to their village of Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. There's been lots of attempts to discover where Emmaus is at the moment. I think there's about 8 different options, and a lot of them have been destroyed, certainly after the Palestinians were forced out by Israel in 1948. So it's difficult to know with any certainty where the village of Emmaus was, but it was obviously near Jerusalem, about 7 miles away, according to this. and they're returning home. You could say they are ex-disciples. They have ceased to follow Jesus because a crucified Messiah is a contradiction in terms, that they're devastated. They placed all their hope into this Jesus. They thought he would be the one to set them free. And they're going home to their ordinary lives, full of loss and full of disappointment. In verse 14, it says they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. They are trying to work it out with each other, process all that has happened in the previous few days, all their disappointment, all their pain, all their loss. And it says in verse 15, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. So Jesus comes and walks beside them. And that is reassuring for us today, that Jesus comes alongside us where we are and walks beside us. But they don't recognize who he is. In verse 16, it says they were kept from recognizing him, that he was incognito, that their eyes were closed. They didn't expect to see him, but also they were kept from recognizing him at this point on the journey. Now, Jesus is risen from the dead, so he knows what they're talking about, but he asks them anyway. He asks them, what are you talking about as you walk along together? He gives them the opportunity to express their losses, their pain. It's a form of therapy, a form of counselling in which they can vocalise what they feel, that it's helpful to them to express it out loud, what they have been talking about with Jesus. And it says they stood still, their faces downcast. Or in the NRSV says they were sad. Are you feeling like them at the moment, downcast and sad? We all react differently to this lockdown. Some people quite enjoy the privacy, the space, the silence. Other people feel it drives them mad and they're going stir crazy. And you're probably somewhere within that spectrum. But I'm sure we all have days when we're feeling sad at the moment. Feeling sad that we'll not be able to visit our family and our friends, sad that we're not able to do the things that we normally enjoy doing, sad at the suffering of people dying and becoming ill, sad about people in hospital and nursing homes who can't be visited and are perishing through social isolation at this time. It's bound to make us sad. I think I've had one or two days this week where I felt a bit sad, thinking, when is this going to end? How long is this going to go on for? And the insecurity and the uncertainty involved in all of that. And then there's the loss of freedom, the loss of human touch and companionship, the loss of work, the loss of purpose, the loss of our daily routines. All these things can make us feel downcast at this time. I like the way that Jesus sort of plays with them a little bit and plays the innocent. In verse 19, he says, what things are you talking about? And then he gives them the opportunity to share their story, their hopes, and they tell him all about Jesus and what happened to him, and also about the rumors that he'd risen from the dead and the women had seen an empty tomb. But obviously that hadn't convinced them, because they're going home and they're still caught in their disappointment, in their grief, and in their loss. We see the disappointed hopes that they have in verse 21, where it says, but we had hoped he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. We thought he was the one who was going to set Israel free from the Romans. It seems that they had the wrong type of hope. They were wanting a military Messiah who would kick out the Romans by force of arms. And do we hope for the wrong things? expecting from God the wrong things? What are we hoping for at the moment? Just an end to the lockdown, a return to life as normal, as if normal was working anyway? Or can we hope that we will be changed and transformed through this process, that our culture, our nation, our world may do things differently as a result of this lockdown? Who knows? And then Jesus, after being so compassionate and non-directive in his counseling methods here, listening to them express how they're feeling, he changes tact and he rebukes them. In verse 25, he says, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" He reminds them that the Messiah's way was a way of suffering, and through this suffering he would enter his glory. And we're reminded ourselves that we are not immune from suffering, that following Jesus and being a human being entails suffering. And we're all going through different forms of suffering at the moment. Perhaps for some of us, it's just the suffering of social isolation, but that can be very difficult. At least we have roofs over our head and food on our table. For many people in the world, suffering lockdown, it's much harder. We think of Christians in India who are day laborers, who are forced into lockdown, who won't have access to the daily necessities to survive. And we think of brothers and sisters in other parts of the world for whom the lockdown is much more serious than for us. But it's okay to recognize that we are suffering, even if that suffering is psychological rather than physical. But it can still be just as real for us. And then we see that Jesus gives them a panoramic Bible study in verse 27. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. You'd like a bit more information here, wouldn't you? You'd like to see what Jesus actually said about what Moses said and what the prophets said about the Messiah, about him and his suffering. But, you know, we don't have that information here, so we have to perhaps guess about what Jesus may have said to them. But there's certainly a lot in the prophets and in what Moses said about how God's ways are ways of suffering and how he brings redemption in and through suffering. We think especially of the suffering servant in Isaiah, but that's not the only place where those themes come up. And then they're approaching their village. That 7-mile journey perhaps took them 2 or 3 hours, or maybe more if they were feeling sad and depressed. They might have walked even slower, but they've arrived at the village, and it looks like Jesus is going to continue on his journey. But they have to urge him to stay, and they say, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening, the day is almost over." And that has echoes of the hymn, "Abide with me, fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide." That's where that famous hymn comes from, these words from Luke in the Emmaus story. And that's why I suggested a link to it, not because it's a funeral hymn, but because it fits in with this theme. Although we might be feeling in a funeral mood in some respects, a time of lament with death all surrounding us and not being sure of the future, it's good to pray and sing that hymn to God that he would abide with us in whatever the future throws at us. And then Jesus changes tact once again. If you're a guest in someone's house, you don't get up and say the blessing. You allow the host to do that. But the guest here becomes the host, and he does something familiar. He takes bread, he gives thanks, he breaks it and gives it to them. And in that familiar ritual that he did in many times as he gathered around for meals, as at the Last Supper, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and shared it. Here he does that familiar gesture, that familiar ritual. And it's in that moment that their eyes are opened. And there's a moment of recognition. It's a sacramental moment. And they recognize who Jesus was and is. And in that moment, he disappears from their sight. So there's something about breaking the bread in which Jesus is made present in that ritual and in that moment. And then they begin to reflect together on Jesus's journeying with them. In verse 32, they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" So there's a retrospective recognition. Looking back, they realize that their hearts were on fire, that their hearts were burning within them as he opened the scriptures to them. And as we have the scriptures open to us, our hearts can burn also with God's presence, with God's fire, with God's Holy Spirit. And we see the importance here of breaking bread. It was an ordinary meal, but every meal is sacramental, as the Quakers would say. And we think of Jesus' table fellowship, sharing meals with all and sundry, with the wrong type of people, that Jesus was always sharing meals and eating, normally with people who would be outside the pale, but he also associated with the rich and the religious scholars of his day as well. He would associate with everyone, and that got him into a lot of trouble. But there's also echoes here of communion, of the Lord's Supper, of the Eucharist. Jesus is recognized as he shared communion together. And probably this gospel written by Luke, it's a good sort of 40 or 50 years after the event. So during that time, there's been 40 or 50 years of experience of breaking bread together, sharing communion, in which they recognize the presence of the risen Jesus amongst them. So there's fruits of decades of experience here. That it's not just for the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, but whenever it happened that they shared bread and drunk wine together, when they broke it, that Jesus was present amongst us and they recognized his presence. And there's also the importance here of opening the scriptures. Jesus opened the scriptures with Cleopas and Mary. And in the early church, as they opened the scriptures together, they found out about who the Messiah was in Moses and the prophets, as it says in verse 27, because in the early church, before they had the Gospels or Paul's letters or the pastoral epistles or the other letters in the New Testament, their scriptures were the Old Testament, the Jewish scriptures, and they looked in them for the Messiah, for Jesus, in the book of Moses, in the first five books of the Bible, and in the prophets, to see what they said about him. And coming forward today we meet Jesus as we open the scriptures. Even in this sermon, we meet Jesus. Jesus comes to us and speaks through the words of Scripture and through the words I say into our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in our daily Bible reading, as we read Bible notes, daily reading notes, or look at the lectionary, the daily readings for the day, or the one-year Bible, or other ways of studying the Bible together, God still speaks to us in and through the Bible. It's the main way that God speaks to us, is through his word and by the power of his Spirit. So we need to have that daily diet of exposing ourselves, if that's not inappropriate, to the scriptures each day, that God can speak to us in and through the scriptures. And through this time of lockdown, we have more time to take our time with reading the Bible and spending time with God's word, and allowing him the opportunity to speak to us and to get at us. We, like the disciples, may be feeling sad and downcast at this moment. I don't know how you're feeling. Probably some of you, many of you, when I've spoken to folk phone and round, quite a lot of folk are down or struggling with what's happening at the moment. So you're like the disciples in that sense, but Jesus is also traveling alongside us. He is risen and he is present with us in the situations we find ourselves. This morning I woke quite early and I was listening to the dawn chorus, and I had the windows open and meditating, And it's almost like the birds were chirping and breaking in the dawn, but it's almost like the birds were saying, "He is risen, he is risen, he is alive." And Jesus still shares his word with us through the Spirit, bringing alive the scriptures, making our hearts burn within us. Sometimes when we hear the scriptures being expounded or we listen to a talk, our hearts burn within us in recognition of God's message, God's word to us. And there are resources that we can listen to. The Spring Harvest resources are some good talks there. Greenbelt have a lot of stuff online. They've just announced that the Greenbelt Festival at the end of the August bank holiday weekend is now cancelled, and they'll be doing it online as well. But there's resources there. You can listen to talks from Greenbelt and from Spring Harvest that can nourish us during this time, that has challenging messages for us and in our lives. And the importance also of breaking bread, of communion, not as a gathered community. We can't do that in the same way. We did it a couple of weeks ago online and had good feedback from people who did it in their homes and felt that that was helpful. But we can also break bread and drink wine in our family homes too. We don't need a presence of a priest to do it. We are all priests in Christ and can do that, and to pray and give thanks for the bread and wine and to break it in remembrance of Christ and all that he has done for us. The two disciples in this story thought Jesus was dead and buried. We at least know we are not alone in our homes at this time, that Jesus journeys with us. He makes our hearts burn within us as we open his word and reflect and meditate upon it. And he opens our eyes to his presence as we break bread together. We are not socially isolated from Jesus. He is still Emmanuel. God is with us. God is present in our homes. God is present in our lives. As he was present to these two disciples on the road to Emmaus, he is just as present to us as we open his word, as we break bread together or alone. We are never socially isolated from God or for Jesus, because he is with us. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you travel with us on our road to Emmaus, that you open the scriptures to us, that our hearts burn within us as you speak to us. And that as we break bread together at meals and at communion, that you are present there also. Open our eyes to recognize your presence amongst us and your presence in other people. And feed us and sustain us during this difficult time with the food of your word and with the food of your presence in bread and wine, and in the power and presence of your Holy Spirit with us at all times and in all places. Amen.